And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about we send our show way down south of Birmingham, way up north of Huntsville, from all the way over to Tuscaloosa and back on over again to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. I just sat there listening to the Foo Fighters boom. I was just enjoying the Foo Fighters there for a minute. I just got caught up in the bump, and I was like, yeah. And then I thought, you got to talk, Phil. So
Got to go.
All right, number two on the triple dipper. Here we go. The green energy push, it's all the rage. I mean, it's a whole-of-government approach. Wait, let me use Biden's voice. It's a whole-of-government approach. All right, so... It's getting to the point that it's almost ridiculous. Like, how much money can you possibly spend? I saw a report last night that said that Biden's green energy push is now in the trillions of dollars. In order to achieve his lofty goals, we're looking at trillions. That's not a sustainable solution. And yet, how I use their word, sustainable. You like that? How I threw that in? Their quest for sustainability is not sustainable in its current form. But they're doubling down, man. They are going for it. And one of the places where they so often now, the Democrats, so often now pursue social engineering is in our military. Why? Because they have a captive audience. It's like their little Petri dish. This is our laboratory. We can do things with it. What do you want to do? I don't know. Let's make transgenders live in the barracks and use the same shower stalls as, you know, everybody else. How about this? Let's go ahead and say that we are going to root out systemic racism and we're going to stop all training while we do it because it really exists, right? No. You start at some point, I expect we're going to see gun control in the military. Oh, wait, we already have that. You may be curious to know, if you don't already know, that one of the most controlled places where you can't have a firearm is on a military base, believe it or not. How about this? Let's shut down whole training ranges so we can't get training done because somebody saw a red-cockaded woodpecker. Whoop, whoop. Save the bird. Save the darter snail. Okay, I'm not for things going extinct. I'm really not. But at some point, the military winds up being the Petri dish for growing all of the little social experiments that the left wants. And all they do is debilitate our ability to be ready, to have readiness. Vaccine mandate. We don't care about your constitutional liberties. Don't talk to me about religious freedom. You get that shot. So people have always said to me, like, well, Phil, don't we have to get shots in the military? Yeah, you did, but you were also allowed, under the law, a religious accommodation. And they were denying that outright in blanket form. It goes on and on and on. How about how many times, some of y'all out there I'm sure experienced this, how many times did I have to write an officer evaluation report? And it was mandatory that I had to include phraseology that said the officer supports the commander's equal employment opportunity and sexual harassment programs. And I had to say that. One time I was so frustrated because I had a great junior officer who was deserving of having as much a write-up, and you have limited space, as much a write-up as I could put into that new computerized version of the OERs, the officer evaluation reports that we use. And yet I wound up having to forego some additional language about his quality leadership in a combat zone in order to make sure that I included things like, you know, sexual harassment and EEO and EO policies. It's crap. Well, the bottom line is this. The military is the Petri dish for the left because they have a captive audience and they have a budget, and all they got to do is sit up there with their Senate and House majorities and go, you know, I'm thinking I need about $1 billion. And if I had that, I could figure out whether transgenders can eat coffee by moonlight. They could do it. And then next thing you know, a study would be done by the RAND Corporation, and they'd come back with proof positive of whether or not transgenders could truly drink coffee by moonlight. And that certainly helps readiness, but that's where we are. Well, the latest we've got right now, and it's not actually daily current, but the latest we got right now is that there is an absolute push to make the Army go green, and I don't mean their uniforms. The Department of Defense, I'm sorry, the actual DOD, all DOD, to go green. So much so that soon after Biden took office, the DOD issued its new climate strategy, labeling climate change as an existential threat to the DO strategic landscape, and made sure that we started putting policies in place that the military is showing how it gets on board. Well, Secretary Granholm, the Energy Secretary, Secretary Granholm, and she just gets under my skin anyway, but Secretary Granholm for the Department of Energy was recently testifying in front of the Senate Armed Services Committee, which our own Senator Tommy Tuberville sits on, I believe. And she was testifying, and then she was also responding to questions by Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa. And the question was, are you really planning and do you believe and support in the idea of going all electric on our non-tactical vehicles? Now, if you're not familiar, every post, every base is going to have X number of service trucks, vans, buses, you know, think panel vans to deliver, you know, goods around, maintenance vehicles, all of them. So we're not talking about tanks and Humvees yet, although they're talking about it. What we are saying is the Biden administration has decided that by the year 2030, when is that? Like 7.5 years. By the year 2030, across the board, all non-tactical vehicles will be electric. And so you got that clip, Boom?
I'm ready.
All right, so here is Secretary of Energy Granholm responding with two questions from Senator Joni Ernst. Hit it.
I believe the proposed swapping of the military's non-tactical vehicles for an all-electric fleet again by 2030 really is putting the climate crusade ahead of our department's lethality. We need to focus on that first. So do you support the military adopting that EV fleet by 2030?
I do, and I think we can get there as well. And I do think that reducing our reliance on the volatility of globally traded fossil fuels, where we know that global events such as the war in Ukraine can jack up prices for people back home, it does not contribute to energy security. I think energy security is achieved when we have homegrown clean energy that is abundant, like you see in Iowa. We think that we can be a leader globally in how we have become energy independent.
Well, and when it comes to the EV fleet, I don't support it. I think we've got a $10 billion price tag here on a very expensive, unreliable product. We need reliability. And I'm going to make a plug again for our homegrown energy. We have a fleet right now that can use ethanol products. They can use biodiesel right now. We don't have to invest that $10 billion. Any one of our non-tactical vehicles can pull up to a pump, fill up with biodiesel, and we are good to go right now at no additional cost to the DOD. And at a time when we are constrained by dollars, we need to take what we have right now and utilize it.
$10 billion. Thanks, Boom. $10 billion. And I guarantee you that's not going to be, it's going to cost more than that. $10 billion across the entire Department of Defense to replace all the vehicles. And by the way, it's not like we're talking about replace all the aging vehicles and the ones that are broken down. They're just going to take them offline, auction them off, and replace them with stuff you have to charge up. You're going to those government auctions, aren't you?
I'll go to the government auction. I'll take one.
They do sell some cool stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, you're gonna see, I mean, and Senator Ernst, she's exactly right. I mean, we have the ability to use biodiesel and ethanol-based fuels right now. But no, they want to go ahead and swap them all out and make sure that we have a fleet of electric vehicles for the military. Now, what kills me is Secretary Granholm's response. I do. I think we can get there. She's so glib. She's always so glib. And talks about how these things would contribute then to our energy security. No, they won't. Where does she? She is the Secretary of Energy. What is her plan to increase the infrastructure so that the grid is not taken down? So next thing you know, in and around Redstone Arsenal, Anniston Army Depot, Maxwell Air Force Base, Fort Rucker, Fort Benning, Fort Novosel, and still Fort Benning, that any one of these posts, I guarantee you, if every single day their fleet of non-tactical vehicles is having to recharge, well, I suspect the grid's going to feel it. Last February, by the way, this is February of 22, the Army did unveil a plan to tackle issues surrounding climate change, including the establishment of an electric vehicle fleet and the reduction of the Army's greenhouse gas emissions. So having said that, let me swap over to a story here on Fox News. Dated February 11th of 2020. By the way, that Secretary Granholm interview a minute ago, that came out in the last couple of days. This story I'm looking at from Fox came out in February of this year. U.S. Army goes green, announcing its new climate strategy. Actually, this is February of last year. The U.S. Army unveiled a plan to tackle issues surrounding climate change, including the establishment of an electric vehicle fleet, as well as the reduction of the branch's greenhouse gas emissions. The strategy aims to establish an all-electric, light-duty, non-tactical fleet by 2027 and an all-electric, non-tactical fleet totally by 2035. Okay, they've adjusted that. Now it's all in 2030. Here's the quote from Secretary of the Army Christine Wormuth, who I still think needs to resign. Climate change threatens America's security and is altering the geostrategic landscape as we know it. For today's soldiers, operating in extreme temperature environments, fighting wildfires, and supporting hurricane recovery, climate change is not a distant future, it's a reality. The Army will lead by example as it works to address the effects from climate change that have taken a toll on supply chains, damaged our infrastructure, and increased risk to Army soldiers and families due to natural disasters and extreme weather. Blah, blah, blah. Because there's never been a hurricane in the history of the world before now. Because there's never been a time when temperatures went way up or way down before now. We've never had wildfires before now. I don't mind having an all-of-the-above policy. The idea that Fort Benning is going to have all-electric, non-tactical vehicles tells me in no uncertain terms that they're not going to have backups, and if the grid goes down, if there's a tornado that comes through, they can't recharge them, that ain't nothing getting delivered on post, no service vehicle is going to respond to a building maintenance issue, and you're going to have plenty of troops that are having to march to training as opposed to getting on a bus. That's what's going to happen. But just so you know, army.mil, Fort Benning, driving into the future with electric vehicles. So Fort Benning is getting out early. It's one of the, and Fort Benning is almost in our listening area. Maybe it is. Right across from Auburn, Phoenix City. U.S. Army Garrison Fort Benning received a new 2023 Ford F-150 Lightning electric non-tactical vehicle. It's a pickup truck. So they got a new electric Lightning. Brand spanking new. Story came out in January this year. So the presidential executive order on catalyzing clean energy and jobs through federal sustainability requires all federal agencies to transition their non-tactical vehicles. I assume that means the FBI will be driving electric vehicles to crime scenes. It says Fort Benning is transitioning. I almost hate the word transitioning now. Thank you very much. But here's the deal. You know what? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to tell you how wonderful, how joyous, how incredible, how suck up this comment is from the base commander. Just saying. You guys stay tuned. Phil Williams, we're talking about the big green machine, and it's not just uniforms now. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. All right, so I was just starting to get into the fact. So I'm in the big green machine. That's number two in the triple dipper. All y'all out there with military experience are currently in green suits right now in places like Redstone Arsenal and others. I just got to tell you, I have concerns. I'm for an all of the above. I don't care if they do some, you know, light vehicles and stuff around post. They're going to have them, you know, go green. Okay. The idea we're going to replace all of them is just nuts. We're going to spend $10 billion over the next 7 years just replacing vehicles that work well with vehicles that are limited in range and have to be recharged. So I will point this out. Where'd it go? I had the my piece. Here it is. So the Fort Benning is trying to get out there and lead. They may be under orders. I'm not sure. But anyway, Fort Benning is one of the first ones to sort of make waves on this. So they took ownership of their first Ford Lightning truck. All right. January of this year, piece came out on Army.mil. Says, and this is the garrison commander talking, says the Ford Lightning truck light-duty electric vehicle at Fort Benning has a 230-mile range on a standard battery that can reach 80% charge in under 45 minutes using a fast charge. Okay, let's break that down. I'm pretty sure that my truck can go more like 400 miles on what takes about 5 minutes to fill up. So you're telling me that if we can go 230 miles, then we can also just take only 45 minutes to charge it back up to 80%. Anyway, Colonel Colin Mahle, it's spelled M-A-H-L-E. I'm not sure how he pronounces it. I'm sorry if I get it wrong, but he's the Fort Benning Garrison Commander. At least he was in January. He's the one who received delivery of the Ford F-150 Lightning, and he was so excited. He talked about sucking up. Okay, so here's what the colonel said. He says, quote, "This is just one of our new electric vehicles. We have 170 of these on the road in the coming year." 170. "This expands our operational capability and installation energy resilience. If you happen to see one of them around, you know that Fort Benning is driving the future." Oh, God. That's the most brown-nosing statement I have ever heard. Oh, boy, he's bucking for a star, I guess, isn't he? But so anyway, I don't care. I don't care that they're going to do some green transition. All right, I've seen energy efficiency used in the military. The Alabama National Guard headquarters in Montgomery is a new construction about 10 years ago. Or more than that, probably 15 years ago. Brand new construction, and they did all kinds of energy efficiencies in their architecture, and it cost more. But now they have solar panels on the roof, and they have, you know, other things involved with the way the windows are double insulated or whatever else, and it's an energy efficient building. Okay, I get it. That's cool. Mandating that we spend $10 billion to take good vehicles off the line to replace them with ones that can take 45 minutes to charge so they can go 230 miles, I don't get it. But hey, Fort Benning is driving the future. Yay, Colonel Mahle. I can just see the text message already flowing in. I need to check some of those here in a minute. I know we're going to break for a minute, so I won't get to. We're going to finish this up when we get back. But you may want to know that, yes, this is right now about a non-tactical vehicle push. But don't think for a second they're not already working on the tactical vehicles, because they are. I mean, the usual, you know, military-industrial complex is already seeing the handwriting on the wall. They know where the money's being spent. So, yeah, they're developing it. And I gotta tell you, I have some thoughts, some concerns. Everybody should, because I'm pretty sure if we go to war in Taiwan, good luck finding enough charging stations. And if the grid goes down, what do you do? If the grid's down, you're just down. So then you have to bring in the grid. Anybody who's deployed has seen those giant generators, and I love that. When main power sets up, it's just very cool. Runs everything. Guess what it runs off of? Fossil fuels. So, what the heck? All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We're coming right back. Hour number three.
listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios for hour number three on a Friday. We cover down on the local, the state, the national, all the issues, man. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, by the way, I just got a couple of text messages in. So my sweet Charlene just texted in. Newsmax reports that BlackRock, you know, the liberal, you know, anyway, financial planning group and all that. Anyway, they have acquired more ownership in Lockheed Martin and Raytheon, two of the major defense contractors that would be electrifying fleets. So you can just imagine where this is headed. Yeah. And then I did get a text from Steve from Madison, and he said, so when are they going to start electrifying the presidential limousine? Yeah. Hey, what a great point. It's good for the goose, you know what I'm saying? Come on. So the Beast, if you've seen the Beast, Boomer?
I've seen the Beast. That thing's
those doors are like crew serve doors. It's a beast,
right?
Electrify it.
It would go a whole whopping 100 yards.
Ugh, God. Anyway, there are those that are saying, by the way, that Secretary Granholm, who I played her comments earlier. That Secretary Granholm's call for 100% electric vehicle military puts electric tanks and green agenda before national security. And I don't disagree. Now, I get it. Our military is resilient. They can walk and chew gum at the same time. But when you got, you know, suck up stuff like, you know, the garrison commander at Fort Benning saying, we're developing our installation energy resilience, and Fort Benning is driving the future. That's just such a pandering set of comments. You and I both know, Colonel, that forcing a $10 billion expense on the DOD to transition all non-tactical vehicles to electric in the next 6 to 7 years is not exactly what it takes to be a lethal fighting force. Are we doing our bit for the climate? Sure. Why don't we go hybrid? Why don't we start off with maybe just through natural attrition, but no, we're going to replace the whole freaking fleet. Well, this discussion was had, Fox News had a piece, this discussion was had the other day on The Five, and Joey Jones, who was a veteran of Afghanistan, lost his legs there as an EOD guy, and Greg Gutfeld, we're both going at it. And literally, Joey Jones said, and he's not wrong, He points out the Biden Pentagon unveiled its climate policy and strategies before they even addressed their strategies on things like the Ukraine war or Taiwan or the illegal immigration crisis on the Mexican border. He said, this administration that literally cannot protect us on our southern border, but by God, they're going to have electric tanks. Anyway, you got a caller? No caller right now? Okay, thanks. Last thing I'll say. Article from Defense News. 2 years ago, it's a year and a half old. Is the Army warming up to electric vehicles? And it talks about the fact that GM Defense, General Motors, GM Defense is one of the, you know, major developers of commercial electric vehicles for the military. Well, they recently have developed their new U.S. Army Infantry Squad vehicle. It's a wheeled vehicle. And they ran it through an off-road course. So U.S. Army officials went. They ran it through the off-road course. They climbed steep, rocky inclines. They zipped around corners. And then they traded that for an electric vehicle to consider the performance differences. Funny thing is, it doesn't say whether it was good or bad. It stops there. And it just starts changing the subject. But Brigadier General Glenn Dean was a spokesperson there who did some of the driving. And he said, you know, when it comes to combat vehicles like the Abrams tank or the Stryker combat vehicles or the Bradley infantry fighting vehicle, I don't think we're going electric anytime soon. Thank you, General Dean, for speaking truth to power. And he goes on to talk about maybe some robotic platforms we would, but then they talk about things like, you know, the tactical wheeled fleet might be a promising place to start, but even then he recommends we try hybrid. Of course, this was also a year and a half ago. I'm not sure he's going to be allowed to say that anymore. He may have to say things like, Fort Benning is driving the future, you know. But GM Defense did convert one of its infantry squad vehicles to a fully electric, it says, in just 12 weeks. And such a vehicle, it said, could be the service's first manned electric vehicle should it receive funding. It goes on to say, too, they got an electric version of a vehicle using a Hummer EV chassis, and it can get 90 minutes of drive time. That's not going to cut it, y'all. But they're investing $27 billion in electric vehicles, and that surpasses their gas and diesel investment. So they go on to talk about the fact that they do believe GM Defense sees a hybrid approach, and I think that's probably wise. You better be able to run on multiple power sources. If you think you're going to go green totally, you're not going to on the battlefield anytime soon, because as soon as they launch an EMP and take out the grid, you're having to struggle then to charge up your vehicles. And I got to ask, too, as I wind this down, you see a lot of reports right now about what happens when these batteries catch fire in electric vehicles. And the fire departments are saying they can't put them out. They literally can't get – it's like watching a white phosphorus grenade. It's just going to burn till it's done. Well, in the battlefield, the last thing you want to see is something that burns until it's done like a Willy Pete. You don't want to see that. And so the idea that we're going to start putting these batteries, which are becoming fire hazards when they get wet, when they get ignited, well – when does it stop? When do we say that's not safe? In fact, the fire suppression systems, while they may be strong on our military vehicles, are they going to be strong enough to put out something that firemen can't put out with a hose? Just a question worth asking. All right, before I wrap it up, I got time for one call, and I see Jeff from Indiana's on the line. So, Jeff Rowe, how you doing?
I'm about 5 miles an hour at the 22-mile mark in Tennessee. Apparently, there's a wreck in front of me.
Oh, brother.
It's not good.
I hate it for you, man.
Oh, I know. Hey, is anybody figured out how much extra weight this is going to put on all these vehicles and everything that should be designed to be lightweight and run through the mud and muck and stuff?
I don't know. I mean, right now, their big push is all the non-tactical vehicles they use on post. But I don't think so, to answer your question.
Yeah, I mean, all you got to do is figure out, you know, if Russia has a tank that's a non-electrical mechanical diesel, and we have all these electric vehicles and everything, what's an EMP going to do? It's going to all our vehicles are going to be completely knocked out, and their vehicles are going to move.
Yep.
It's plumb stupid.
That's exactly right. It makes no sense. And, you know, one of the most important things on the battlefield, aside from warfighting skills, is logistics. You got to set up that supply chain pretty quick. And the combat trains are going and going and going and trying to keep, you know, all the beans and bullets going to the front lines. And you're an over-the-road driver. You know what that's like. And here you are stuck in traffic. Imagine if you were stuck in a combat zone because of an IED up ahead of you. And next thing you know, you can't get going because you lost your charge while you sat still or couldn't recharge in time to get back on the road.
Well, all this starting and stopping would run a battery down real quick. I mean, you know, but the thing about it is if we go all this green stuff anyway, what's going to happen? Does anybody, you know, they can't figure out what the weather's going to do tomorrow, let alone 100 years from now. So if we do all this stuff and everything and the weather still changes, what good did it do? Except for ruining everybody's economies.
They're determined that we should believe that climate change is everything they say it is. I'm for being a good steward of the earth. I absolutely am. But the idea that there's never been a hurricane before now, never been an earthquake, never been a wildfire is just not historically accurate. But
and what happens when a volcano goes off and spews all this gas into the air and everything, you know, they get 1,000 years of gas into the air in just a few minutes, basically. So everything you did is null and void.
Well, it boggles the mind, man. Hey, listen, Jeff, I got one more caller I'm going to try and grab for the break, but you be safe on the road, brother.
All right. Thank you, buddy. Have a good weekend.
You too. Let me grab Thomas from Athens. I got about a minute to go. Thomas, how you doing?
Yes, sir. Well, Colonel, my father was a lieutenant colonel in the Marine Corps, supply and logistics.
Well, Semper Fi.
Supply line, yes, sir. The supply line is key. How you can't take spare batteries to change out. They're too damn big and heavy. You can't. Are you going to set up charging stations for these vehicles out in the middle of nowhere and then try to get diesel to them?
I think Rommel,
his supply lines in northern Africa got stretched so thin that that's why he eventually lost those battles.
Well, we also saw the Battle of the Bulge that way. The Battle of the Bulge, the Germans were trying to get to a major fuel depot because they were running out of supply lines and they couldn't get to it, and they wound up just running out of gas on the battlefield.
So we're going to make it more difficult. We're going to make it more difficult for a vehicle to get power. It is beyond no rational person does this.
Well, we don't have a rational person in the White House right now. So
bingo.
We'll see. All right, man. I got to go to break. Appreciate it, Thomas. Thanks for calling in. All right, Boomer, take us to the break. We will be right back. More Right Side Radio on a Friday. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain red. Man, you hit my high school right there. That's Foreigner. That was like 1978, 79, 80, thereabouts.
Man, that was a good one. I was jamming over here.
You were. Was Boomer like, was on it. hey, listen, folks, I got to tell you. So the Elm Foundation is one of our sponsors. The Elm Foundation, it stands ELM. It stands for Expect Little Miracles. Just doing cool stuff. Changing people's lives. They're based out of Huntsville. It's a 501c3 Elm Foundation. So they are literally getting people off the streets, getting them back into being productive members of society. And they're doing it by walking through the program with them, not just throwing money out there like the government would do. They're actually intervening in people's lives, helping them set goals, developing their resumes, getting job certifications, and doing the things it takes. And, oh, by the way, providing accountability. So that's huge. And listen, the way it's kind of set up, it's also very cool that anybody who gave a dollar to the Elm Foundation is going to wind up knowing that goes 100% into their programs because they have a benefactor who has underwritten all of their administrative costs. And now any dollar they raise goes straight into working with folks and helping change lives. So check them out, the Elm Foundation, ELM. That stands for Expect Little Miracles. Like I said, their website is ELMHSV, as in Huntsville, ELMHSV.org. And if you talk to them, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio, and we're glad to have them on the team. I've got to tell you, too, by the way, speaking of advertising, so we get emails all the time inquiring, and I'm glad. Because, see, you need to know this, too. Right Side Radio is a separate business. We're not owned by the radio stations that we're on. We own the content. We have our own studio. We do the programming. We send our signal out to our channels that we're syndicated to. And we got huge response. I mean, we're listed as the number one afternoon talk show in North Alabama. Very cool. We're in discussions about where it might go next. But I will just tell you this. We survive off of ad revenue and people who decide to want to support us. We're a 501c3, believe it or not. But if you want to advertise your business, if you're listening to what we're doing, you're going, man, that's in line with what I believe. That's the way I think. That's the way my business. And by the way, you know, our audience is the kind of people just like you. Well, then maybe you want to advertise with us. If that's the case, go to our website, rightsideradio.org, rightsideradio.org. There's a place on there that says advertising. You click on it. Send us a message through the website, and we will respond, and we'll get our sales staff out there to talk to you and see what we can't do. All right, so yeah, rightsideradio.org, Click on advertising. We'd love to have you on the team. Man, the Boomer, you got the explosion sound? Because I got to say it about the text lines. The text lines blew up. Yeah. So, man, what else have I got here? Gary from Athens says, Boomer, he's talking to you.
Yeah, it's me.
Well, I tell you what, I will let you read it because he says something about don't say it on the air. So now I just stopped myself right before I read it. I'll let you read your text over there from Gary from Athens. Ben from Decatur says, regarding electric vehicles, when vehicles need power and torque to get through mud, snow, ice, rough terrain on a battlefield, the electric will always fail. But the White House is too stupid, in their own words, to realize this issue. Oh, that's right. It's the same administration that left U.S. citizens in Afghanistan. Yeah, indeed. Thanks, Ben from Decatur. Chip from Muscle Shoals, we're driving the future. It's just an unnecessary social experiment. It's a slogan. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, wait, hang on a second. I think I read it wrong. We're driving the future. It's not just an unnecessary social experiment. It's a slogan. Okay, there you go. Now I got it right. Jeff from Indiana on the bump music. He says, hey, Phil, I went to the Foreigner 4 concert back in the day, and that was the best one I ever saw. Jukebox Hero. Nice. Nice. John from Huntsville says, hey, Phil, did you know that the green transition occurred when Captain Planet traded his cape for a dress? Now he's a green dude looking like a green lady. Thank you, John. Thank you very much. Grandstand from Huntsville. Grandstand says, don't badmouth electric tanks until you know how long the cord is. Nice. What do we got here? TL from Huntsville sent me a link to go look at something, but I'm not there yet. So he says, numerous news sources and commentators have said that there is not enough natural resources in the whole world to make all the needed EV batteries. It is soon to be obsolete technology. Granholm, of all people, should know this. The Department of Energy took breakthrough battery technology and handed it over to China. Yeah, I totally agree. By the way, the truth of the matter is that the bulk of the rare earth minerals and other things that we need, cobalt and all that, is not currently being mined in the United States. And a lot of it comes from China. So we're looking at outsourcing. We're looking at pushing for an all-electric non-tactical vehicle fleet. And, oh, by the way, they're already testing the idea of some tactical vehicles. And we're letting China sort of have the, you know, the main components that we need. Glenn from Bluntsville, he says, I want what some of those people are smoking. I'll take what he's having. Boomer, we got a brand new texter I just found down the string. It got away from us. And I can't see what it's got there, but he's sending in a picture of a Bud Light rocket. Yeah, tell us who you are, where you're from. We'll plug you into the system so we can text back and forth later in the future. Brad from Limestone County. Here's an idea leading by example. Before any base is forced to take delivery of any electric vehicle, the president must take delivery of an electric vehicle version of his limo and be required to use it. That's what Steve from Madison said, too. So, yeah, Brad from Limestone County, you are thinking alike. You're not going to see that anytime soon. I guarantee you. Because his safety is more important. We can't do that. He may have to go somewhere. People are trying to get him. Well, they're trying to get our soldiers on the battlefield, too. Thank you very much. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Going to number 3 of the Triple Dipper. Mr. President, what is the plan? Yeah, we'll talk about it. Be right back.